Tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree. It's been 3 long years. Will she still want me?
Still want me? Hello and welcome to another episode of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. I'm Craig.
I'm Reza.
And this week we have a special guest, Martin. Hello, Martin.
Hello, I'm pleased and delighted to have been invited.
Thank you very much to you for joining us. If you are a new listener to this award-winning podcast, you're very welcome. We usually say that we have, Reza and I, over 40 years of teaching experience between us. But today with Martin, how many years of teaching experience do you have?
Let's just say it's in double numbers and then some.
Yeah, but it's more than 11.
It's more than 20. Yes.
So we have over 60 years of teaching experience.
My God, we're dinosaurs.
And we're very happy to have Martin with us today.
Thank you again.
Talk about the order of adjectives before a noun. So what order do you put those adjectives in before the noun? That's today's subject. But before that, we have some audio feedback from Alfredo from Italy, from Italia. And Alfredo was very kind enough to send us some audio feedback about his accent. So let's listen to Alfredo from Italy.
Hi, Greg and Reza. I am Alfredo from Italy. I have already sent you a vocal message in which I thanked you for your beautiful lessons. I have been learning English not so easily because my age, but today I wanted to ask you if there is a particular exercise to do to improve my English accent. In fact, when I speak to English people, they say that I have an Italian sound in my speaking to them. Thank you for your help. Bye-bye.
So, guys, what Alfredo is asking is he has a very strong Italian accent, and he's asking how he can improve his accent. People are telling him his accent's very strong. So what do you think about that? And also I'd like to ask you if you think, how important is it? How important is it for learners of English to sound like native speakers? What do you think?
I would say, Alfredo, don't worry too much about it. Don't worry too much about it. Don't confuse accent and pronunciation. Yes, it's important to have good pronunciation, but you can have really good pronunciation and still have an Italian accent. That's no problem at all. What do you think?
Yes, I've been living in Spain for about 25 years, and no one is ever going to confuse me with a Spaniard. As soon as I open my voice, they say, Giri, English person, British person, and they're correct.
Does that bother you? Do you think, I mean, are you aware or conscious of that? Has anybody ever criticized your Spanish accent?
Yes, they have, and I think they're being very rude for doing so. When I first came to Spain, I was a lot more self-conscious. When I went into bars or shops or cafes, etc., asking for things, I would use as few words as possible because I thought people were going to look at me, stare at me, and even laugh at me. But I think as the years go by, you get less self-conscious and more used to it, and you think, well, I don't really care.
Yeah.
As long as the people understand you, I think that's the most important thing.
I think Martin makes a very good point. I'd like to add that I think our nationality, our native mother tongue, our native language says a lot about who we are. I was born in England. When I speak a foreign language with an English accent, that's part of who I am. And when Alfredo speaks English with an Italian accent, I think that's quite nice. That's who Alfredo is, do you think?
Yep. Yeah. Alfredo, don't take this the wrong way, but not so much your voice, but more your female compatriots from Italy. I wouldn't want them to lose their Italian accent. It's sexy.
It's very sexy. Yeah.
It's sexy.
And a little Italian bit sexist, language. What you've said, but never mind. Well,
speaking about my own personal taste, I'm sure there's plenty of people who like Italian men's accents as well in it, because yes, they find it sexy. Italian French as well quite tickles my fancy, I must admit.
Mm-hmm. What does tickle your fancy mean?
I really like French female accents tickle my fancy.
Te gusta mucho.
Yeah. Speaking in English, you know, the French accent. Mm-hmm. You know, hello, how are you? And all of that kind of thing. I like it.
And another point.
Very good imitation.
I think it's important to say that it can be a problem when your accent is so heavy that it's affecting communication and you're mispronouncing words. So as long as, this is my personal opinion, as long as your accent isn't affecting the effectiveness of your communication, as long as people can understand you, then I think you're okay. Anyway, thanks to Alfredo for sending us that message. And if you have any comments on that, please send us an email and we'll tell you at the end of this podcast how you can contact us. The order of adjectives before a noun. Quite a confusing...
Sounds easy, doesn't it? But little do they know.
It sounds easy, and for us it is easy because it's something which is more or less innate. We know it by heart without necessarily having the ability to explain this becomes before that, before the next adjective, etc. But it's something that we do automatically. Mm-hmm. It's instinctive. But I understand that for a foreigner, it's not going to be the same case.
Especially for Spanish speakers learning English, who translate una mesa roja to a table red, not realizing that the color comes before the noun, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we use more than one adjective in front of a noun. For example, he's a fat old man, so fat and old before the noun. So we say fat and old. We don't say old and fat, usually. Another example, she's an attractive French businesswoman.
Ooh, does she have an accent? I like the sound of her already.
Je ne sais. Sounds Martin's got an old yellow bike.
Well, he doesn't actually, but the example's fair enough.
Well, I knew
you do have an old bike. What colour is it?
I was hoping you'd correct me and use adjectives before a noun. So can you describe your bike?
It's a fairly new brown bike, but the problem is I'm a little bit colourblind, so I don't know how to describe colours very well. Yes, I am. Yes, so that puts an extra problem into the mix there.
Does it affect you on your bike with traffic lights? Can you?
No, because like most Valencianos, I pay no attention to them.
Right. So it doesn't matter if they're yellow, red or green. So do you agree that more than three adjectives before a noun is unusual, which simplifies our job here?
I think it's very unusual. I don't think that anyone would use normally more than two or three adjectives before a noun. They would split the sentence up and give an extra phrase, an extra clause to describe something.
Craig, I wonder, are you purposely saying three adjectives before a noun? Before a noun. Yes, because I agree it's very unusual to have more than three adjectives before a noun. But it's not so unusual to have more than three adjectives if there's no noun.
Can you explain?
Yes, it's like, Craig, I believe you've just tried a new dish. Can you describe it for me? Oh, well, it was kind of spicy. A little bit exotic tasting. Mm-hmm. It was very hot. Mm-hmm. Had the texture of pate. It was a little bit bitter. That's quite normal when there's no noun, just a list of adjectives.
Yes, that's true. Salty, etc. Yeah. Yes.
That's very true.
Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely.
And I think it's exactly the same in Spanish. In Spanish, you'd rarely have more than two or three adjectives with a noun, but without a noun, as many as you need.
Yes, right? I agree. I think there's a difference between speaking and writing as well. I mean, when we're speaking, we're being more fluent. We're using a lot more ers and ums. We are adding information, whereas when we write, we want to be grammatically correct. We don't want our sentences to be overlong, to be overloaded with adjectives.
True. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now that we've agreed that it's unusual to have 5 or 6 or 7 adjectives before a noun, let's look at the general order of adjectives before a noun. Now, I check this, and not every grammar book agrees with this order. Let's just go through the order that is generally accepted by some grammar books, but not all. And maybe with each category, we can give 1 or 2 examples. Mm-hmm. So your first adjective possibly or probably will be adjective of opinion, what you think.
Which is subjective.
Subjective. Yes. Examples?
Beautiful.
Lovely.
Cheap.
Fantastic. Nasty.
Ugly.
Horrible.
Fantastic.
Great.
So whatever your opinion is would come first. Second, or after opinion, comes size. For example,
a nasty big dog, for example.
A lovely little book.
A wonderful long, wonderfully, it would be wonderfully long, wouldn't it? Not wonderful long.
No, no. Could be
wonderful, a wonderful long podcast.
A gorgeous, slim French woman.
Ah.
Or I should say a gorgeous, slim German woman.
Much better. Third, after size, age, for example, old, young,
yes,
ancient,
modern, etc. Then perhaps shape, round,
oblong,
square,
hexagonal,
rectangular,
triangular.
Then colour, blue, green, red, orange.
And what about
pinkish?
Pink, yes, yeah. Bluish, pinkish, reddish.
With yes, these are important ones, yes. Yeah.
Just put ISH at the end of any colour and it means more or less.
How would you say that in Spanish, like reddish?
Oh, what a nightmare. Una it's pesadilla.
Very difficult to explain.
Ooh, no, there are words. Well, there are words for about, each and
about,
everyone.
What about rojo-ish?
No, rojizo.
Rojizo?
Yeah, rojizo. Everyone has its own
and for
word
someone,
in
and for someone who's colorblind like me, these are very useful words because, it's kind of bluish or kind of pinkish when you don't really know. So they're very useful, they're very accurate, very precise.
By the way, for color, we also include tones. Color or tone, so dark. Although dark isn't a color, put it in the category of color. Dark, light, bright.
Bright, etc.
Pale. Okay.
Yes.
And next on the list, we have origin, where things are from, perhaps nationality. For example, a big German dog or a large Italian car.
Mm-hmm.
Any other examples?
A beautiful green field.
Oh,
I'm thinking of Ireland.
That's a very nice example.
I'm thinking of home.
Yeah. Gorgeous, colourless rain, I don't know, from Ireland. That's not a very good example, but still.
A welcoming Irish pub.
I feel quite homesick now.
A warm Irish pub, yes.
A tasty pint of Irish Guinness.
Finally,
on my list, I have material, what the thing or the noun is actually made of or from.
Did we mention origin, though?
Yes, we did. Yeah, Irish, etc. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Material, yes.
Yeah. So finally, we have material, what the thing is made from.
Mm-hmm.
For example, an old wooden table.
Yes, or a big metal box.
Or a small plastic cup.
Yes, or a terribly wooden American actor.
Yes, or are you thinking of anyone in particular?
John Wayne, hello.
Pink woolen jumper.
Very good.
Woolen for clothes, woolen, silk, linen. You've got all the material for
brown
clothes.
Leather jacket.
Yes, blue suede shoes.
And you don't want anyone to step on them, do you?
No.
Don't step on my blue suede shoes.
My boots are made for walking.
Uh-huh. So, So obviously we're not going to
Can I say once more? Martin's got me in the mood. Tie a yellow ribbon, round the old oak tree.
Ribbon round the old oak tree. It's been 3 long years. Will she still want me?
Still want me.
So obviously we won't have all of these adjectives before the noun, but if you're going to put an adjective, this list will help you put the adjectives in the correct order. And you can find this list with our examples in the show notes. Go to inglespodcast.com/92 and there you will find notes from this episode.
Craig, could you just go through the order again, please, without giving examples?
Yes, I will, and I'll share with the listeners something that helps me to remember the order, and that is the acronym OSASHCORM. Say it again. OSASHCORM. So that's O for opinion, S for size, A for age, SH for shape, so OSASH.
Okay.
C, cheating a little bit. But.
C, it's an acronym. C for color. OR for origin. And M for material. If you remember OSASHCORM and you associate the words with that acronym, it might help you. Do you two guys have a similar way to remember the order?
No, the reason I made a funny sound was I'm not sure I agree with the order. As you said, not all grammar books agree.
There is some disagreement.
I don't know if I myself wouldn't put shape between size and age. So Craig says, say size, then age, then shape. But to me, size, then shape, then age sounds perfectly good as
well. Can you give an example of this, please?
Yeah, let's give an example and see if we think it sounds good or sounds strange.
Okay. What about a large, round, old book?
No, I would say a large, old book.
Okay.
A large old round table, I would say.
Okay.
I wouldn't say a large round old table.
No, a large round old table sounds better to me too, I'm afraid. Yes. So,
you've convinced me.
I mean,
that was quick.
I read it in some grammar books. That's why I...
And I checked on the internet and there is disagreement. But when I say examples, this order to me sounds the most logical.
I prefer yours. I'm just saying that I saw size plus shape plus age suggested in quite a lot of grammar books.
This is something where, as I said at the beginning, it's instinctive for us, I think. And we can look at lists, we can look at the so-called rules, but when we say it, we think, I've been saying it wrong or right all my life. And I think it's like this.
Another thing, I don't want to complicate life too much, but we can't oversimplify either. These are great categories, but there are plenty of others. We haven't mentioned thickness, weight, height.
No.
Words for clothes. There's plenty of other. Where will we put that? For example, warm. That's a warm jacket. Okay, on its own, fine. But what if I combine it with other categories? Warm describes the clothes. Yeah.
Well, it's before material because I say a warm leather jacket, a warm woolen scarf.
Yes.
Let's add size. Put large into the mix then.
A large warm woolen scarf. But again, when you have more than two, it sounds strange.
It does sound strange, yes. You say a beautiful warm day, a beautiful thick warm overcoat, would you say?
And back to scarf, I would say this... brown woolen scarf is really warm.
Yes, you would split the sentence up there. You would make it a lot easier to understand.
What about light for weight?
A light. It's a light Swiss suitcase.
Mm-hmm. And what about if we have shape and size?
And size.
Let's put in light and big and suitcase and Swiss and suitcase. What order would you go for?
Light
there?
And big don't seem to go together in for some reason. How about bulky?
Okay, bulky. Very good adjective. Okay. Bulky.
Isn't that opinion though?
What, bulky? No, I think bulky is something based on what you see, based on size, something which is big.
So it's a bulky... Well, I've forgotten what they were.
Let's take the words. Too. We got suitcase, Swiss, bulky, and light.
A light, bulky Swiss suitcase.
For me, bulky and light don't go well together.
No, we probably not. No. They seem all...
Light to heavy. That will make it easier. Okay. Bulky, heavy. What else do we say? Bulky, heavy, suitcase, Swiss.
Swiss suitcase.
Okay. Put those in order then.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's a heavy, bulky Swiss suitcase.
So heavy weight first, then bulky is size or shape.
Could have a heavy smelly Swiss cheese. A heavy smelly Swiss sweet. I changed the example. I'm very sorry. I'm only the invitee here.
A heavy smelly Swiss cheese. What about a smelly heavy Swiss cheese? Does it sound all right? For quite a few of them, it doesn't really matter, does it? For example, weight and smell, heavy, smelly, smelly, heavy, doesn't really matter, does it? The Swiss both kind of sound all right, doesn't
it? The Swiss cheese sounds very nice with a glass of wine with it.
Oh, it does, yeah.
It does, yeah.
So I might even say that there's a whole other kind of group that you might call other qualities.
I think we'll agree with that they're not so clear and they're not so obvious. So as not to confuse the listeners, don't worry about those ones that Razor just mentioned. Just try to remember the ones that have a general fixed order and just throw the other ones in.
But not any way you like. Throw them in more or less more sizes.
More or less sizes.
Don't put them after material, for example. That's stupid.
No, don't put them at the very end of the sentence.
You can't say a bulky old... plastic, light, or sorry, heavy, beg your pardon, heavy Swiss suitcase. It doesn't sound right.
No.
Things like weight, thickness, all of those, put them with size or shape round about that area, approximately. Mm-hmm. Don't put them after age, color, origin, material. That's big.
You can make it easier by putting some of these adjectives after the noun. You know, a big bulky suitcase which is green or something like this. You know, and I think that doing that will make your life a lot easier.
Yeah,
because
right.
I think there are very few of us, as we said at the beginning, who use four or more adjectives straight off from one string.
Absolutely,
it's not
absolutely.
Done.
Moving on, other points connected to adjectives before nouns. Numbers come first, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yes.
Can you give an example of where numbers come first?
Yes, one lovely German woman.
Once.
Would that be an example?
Yes. Or half a dozen free-range eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Half a dozen being six.
Yep.
Six large eggs.
I prefer free range myself.
Free range, okay.
That's completo.
You have big omelets.
My second big chance. My second big opportunity. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Use commas when there's more than one adjective. Do you agree?
Yes, I do.
Generally, yes.
Yes.
But you don't absolutely have to, do you?
No, but I think in writing it's accepted. For example, a wonderful, long, relaxing holiday. A wonderful, comma, long comma, relaxing holiday. But I don't think you should put the comma between relaxing and holiday.
Not after the last adjective.
No.
Okay.
No.
All the others except between the last one and the noun.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what if there are only two adjectives? Is it such a big deal if you don't put in a comma?
No, because for example, you wouldn't say, if you had a sentence like, this is a big green car, surely you wouldn't put in a comma after big.
No,
a big green car.
Two
lovely blue eyes.
A tall, dark stranger.
No, you wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
So I think that this is a rule which you can say sometimes you use it, sometimes not. Unfortunately, as Spanish students want to always have a rule for something, I think it's not always the case. It's not possible.
And I think the longer the list of adjectives, the more adjectives you have, the more likely you should be to use a comma.
Yes. I think it helps the eye to read the sentence better.
Occasionally, adjectives come after the noun. True or false?
True.
True. Very true.
Examples?
In some fixed expressions, for example, like President-elect, Secretary-General, God Almighty.
God Almighty.
A very common expression in Britain and Ireland, isn't it? Mm-hmm. When something strange or unusual happens, you say, God Almighty. Mm-hmm. Almighty is an adjective.
Yes.
And then, after certain words, for example, after all things, it's very typical to say things like, all things culinary excite me.
All things bright and wonderful. All things bright and beautiful.
Yeah, famous hymn, isn't it?
It was. All things bright and beautiful.
Is it? All creatures great and small. Again, a second time. Creatures great and small. Yeah. All things. There's another one.
There's another one. I don't know the words.
And wonderful.
The Lord God.
It happens three times. Yes. And then after certain determiners like everything, anything, anywhere, etc. Like anything Greek interests Mike Hardy. And it's true, by the way. Anything Greek. Greek's an adjective, but it comes after the word anything. Or anywhere hot is where I'd like to go this summer. Anywhere hot. Not hot anywhere. It's wrong if you say hot anywhere. You have to say anywhere hot.
Any other points about adjectives before the noun before we practice?
Well, I know it's not our topic. Our topic is adjectives before the noun. But what about adjectives which can't go before a noun? Because I'm worried about our listeners putting them with nouns. Can you think of any examples?
You mean the ones like asleep, afraid, awake, alone, etc.?
Yeah. So can you give me an example of a phrase or a sentence with one of those?
The boy is asleep.
So just stop for a second. The boy is asleep. So what can you not say?
The asleep boy is, for example.
Forget about that. The asleep boy, you cannot
you
say,
can't say that.
Boy. You can say the big boy, you can say the happy boy, you can say the stupid boy.
You can say the sleeping boy.
You can say sleeping, but you cannot say the asleep boy.
But for example,
it's an adjective
you can
which
say,
cannot go before a noun.
Can you say the afraid boy?
No.
No, but you can say the frightened boy.
Yes.
Indeed. But then if you wanted to use the word afraid, you would have to say the boy is afraid.
Yeah. Put absolutely. It after the verb. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that a lot of those adjectives begin with the letter A?
That's interesting. I hadn't, but...
Asleep, afraid, awake, alone, alike, all right. The first letter is A. And all of those adjectives cannot go before a noun.
Interesting.
For example, the day was all right.
The boy was alone.
I feel alone. But you cannot say the alone boy. You can say the lonely boy, but you cannot say alone plus boy.
Do you think our audience are asleep or awake?
I hope
to tell.
Moving on, let's do an exercise. So I'm going to say a noun and two adjectives, which may or may not be in the correct order, and I'd like you to put them in the correct order. However, let's count two silently so that people listening can try before we tell them the answer. Ready? Let's give the first one to Martin. Martin, house, modern, attractive.
An attractive modern house.
Reza, dog, black, huge.
Huge black dog.
Martin. Day, lovely, sunny.
A lovely sunny day.
Reza. Thinking of me. Nose, red, large.
A large red nose.
Martin. Face, round, friendly.
A friendly round face.
Reza. Phone. Expensive Japanese.
Expensive Japanese phone.
Martin. Car. New. Sports. Red.
A new red sports car.
In that one, the sports car becomes a compound noun, doesn't it?
Yes,
it's
it does.
Sports car.
Yes.
Because sports technically is a noun, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a sports car.
Reza, boots. What does? Leather, black, sexy.
Sexy, black, leather, boots.
Martin, last one. Table, modern, glass, ugly.
An ugly, modern, glass table.
Okay, so how many did you get right? If you made some mistakes, go back, listen again. Before we move on with this podcast, we'd like to thank our sponsor, iTalki. What is italki.com? iTalki is a website where you can find effective quality teaching. It's a marketplace connecting teachers and students. If you'd like personal teaching and personal tutors from anywhere in the world, from the United States, from the UK, from Australia, then you'll find them on iTalki. And it's a very convenient way of learning English over the internet and through Skype. It's affordable, it's cheap in the language school, and it's personal and customized to your needs. So you'd find a teacher and you'd explain to the teacher what you're looking for, and the teacher would design a course for you and teach you over the internet when it's convenient for you. So if you're interested in connecting with a personal teacher to improve your speaking or any aspect of your English, iTalki are offering listeners of this podcast 100 free iTalki credits, which is about, what, Reza, 13, 14 euros?
That's right.
If you sign up through our website, they'll give you a free lesson. So you have to go to inglespodcast.com/iTalki. Just click on Start Speaking, Find a Teacher. And we want to say thank you to iTalki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza. So let's just chat and speak about things using adjectives and nouns. Reza, could you describe your flat to us?
It's an old, disorganized,
clean,
untidy flat. But disorganized, untidy is kind of the same, isn't it? But it's both. Disorganized in the sense that I should change the structure of the flat. I need to knock down walls. And untidy, nothing's where it should be.
How do you say reformar in English?
To do work on something. I need to do work on it.
Mm-hmm. I would say the same, yes.
I would say do up.
Oh, ah, yes, of course.
Do up a house.
Refurbish.
Do up my flat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do up a flat or do work on the flat.
Or decorate. Martin, what's your flat like?
It's a fairly inexpensive new flat. Well, actually, it's not very new. It's a fairly inexpensive middle-aged flat, let's call it, okay? Which also needs a lot of work doing for it. It is a clean flat, even though my partner would largely disagree with that statement. and at times it's a little bit grubby. Yes, it's a grubby flat.
What does grubby
because
mean?
Grubby means a little bit dirty, a little bit sucio.
Okay.
We have a dog, and the dog has made it grubbier than before.
What kind of dog have you got?
It's a Labrador. It's a puppy.
So yes. It's a small brown.
It's not particularly very small. It's a fairly large, grey or golden young Labrador puppy.
Lovely. What's its name?
Rover.
Rover.
Yes.
I noticed that both of you have used fairly to moderate your adjectives, because you said fairly as well. Mm-hmm. It's a fairly clean, fairly old, fairly... Mm-hmm. How would you translate fairly into Spanish?
Bastante.
Bastante.
Hasta cierto punto.
Yeah. It's fairly big dog.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's an adverb. we're using.
Indeed. I mean, we can use other adverbs as well, like extremely, relatively, quite. But that's another subject.
We'll leave that for another podcast.
We'll leave that for another day. Close. We're recording this at the moment where we work in the British Council in Valencia. I'm looking at Reza now across the table from me, and he's wearing an attractive blue jumper. And under that is a dark blue T-shirt. Reza, what's Martin wearing?
Martin's wearing a rather attractive, if you don't mind me saying, a rather attractive grey or greyish pullover.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that's opinion, colour, noun.
Yes.
Martin, what about me?
Okay, with my colour blindness, to talk about. No, Craig is wearing a long-sleeved, multicoloured, but fairly dark, checked shirt.
Whoa, four adjectives there.
It's too many,
I'm
sorry.
You can be a bit more, you can use a few more with clothes, don't you think?
Yeah.
People tend to use a few more
they
adjectives
do.
With clothes.
They do.
When necessary.
They right? do. Mm-hmm. They do. Okay. And he's wearing a very fetching pair of glasses.
What does fetching mean?
That they're quite... they're good looking, let's say. They look good.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we describe one another? So...
this is where I go.
Who wants to start?
Okay, I'll start with describing Reza. Reza
are you going
is,
to describe his appearance or his personality?
No, I will describe his personality. I think that's a better way to do it.
Can this be edited later?
I hope so. Reza is a talkative, humorous Northern Irish man.
And I would describe Martin as a friendly, affable, easygoing person.
Can I come here again?
Yes, with pleasure. With pleasure. And I would describe myself as a fat, middle-aged, greying Englishman.
Oh, Craig, you're being a bit hard on yourself, Craig. You're being a bit hard. I tell you what, Craig, someone you could describe. Could you describe Mickey Mouse, please?
Yes, Mickey Mouse is a charming...
Encantador.
Mm-hmm.
A charming, short... Black and red?
Black and white, surely.
Black and white? Uh-huh. Mouse.
Mm-hmm. And how many black and white mice do you know, listeners? I don't know many.
Mickey Mouses. How would you describe Valencia?
Valencia is a warm but humid city.
Coastal city.
Coastal city, indeed, yes.
Reza?
The same, more or less. Craig, how would you describe this room we're in right now?
It's a fairly small, well-furnished classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Well-furnished, that's a nice
that.
Adjective. Two words together to make one compound adjective, which we mentioned in our last episode, didn't we? Our previous episode.
Yes, we did. Inglés podcast /91.
So that's like saying, for example, a well-educated student, okay. As most of the students here are.
Let's describe our favourite possession. We've all got one. Our favourite thing.
I don't know,
I
but
don't
I do have a favourite possession, actually.
I know you're not a very material person.
Neither am I.
I would say that my favourite possessions are probably the many dusty books that I have on my shelves at home. That would be one various possessions that I enjoy.
Yeah, I would go along with that. Mm-hmm. More for the knowledge that they represent rather
yes.
than the actual books.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah.
But I think I have to be honest, I think I'm probably the most materialistic person at the table, so I apologise for that. But my favourite possession is my small black Japanese sports car.
Oh.
Yeah, I've seen it. In fact, I've been in it, and I can understand why you like it. It's very nice to get a lift in it.
To get a lift, llevar alguien? To
yeah,
give coche. Someone a lift?
Well, that's to give someone a lift, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Your last holiday?
Why don't you describe yours? Because, Craig, you normally go on more interesting holidays than me. Where was your last holiday?
Well, describing my last holiday, I would say it was an expensive, enjoyable...
break.
Long holiday. Mm. Long Christmas holiday.
Mm. What about you, Martin?
The last holiday that we had, we went, my family and me, we went to Galicia, where we spent a wonderful few days with friends, and we had a very enjoyable time.
And your last holiday, Reza?
My last holiday... Does going home to visit my mum count?
It's a holiday.
Did you work?
No.
No, it was a holiday then.
Then it was extremely long, boring. Should I say boring, extremely long stay with my mother.
I would say an extremely long and boring here long, myself. Boring.
Me too.
I would separate it with an and.
What's next?
Craig, describe your first girlfriend or boyfriend, it says here in the notes.
Well, my first girlfriend, Emma, she was an attractive, quiet, small... No, you wouldn't use so many adjectives. She was a really attractive, quiet girl.
An English girl?
Yeah, an English girl. She was dark... and she had long straight hair, very pretty and a bit shy.
Craig, do you mind if I ask you another question? Describe your current partner or wife or husband.
She's a middle-aged Spanish woman.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Martin?
Which question?
Both.
Okay. My first girlfriend, it's thousands of years ago, this is, but she was a fairly short, slightly plumpish East Anglian woman.
So you have to explain plumpish?
Plumpish is a little bit gordita, let's say, a little bit fattish.
It's a nice way to say...
It's a nice way to say obese. She wasn't obese, though.
And she's listening to this.
No. We long ago lost contact. Okay. Yes.
Reza,
and the present one is a medium height. No, medium. What would you say?
Medium height. Yeah.
Then you would say of medium height, wouldn't you?
Not necessarily. No. Just say medium height. Can't you?
She's medium height. I don't. Anyway, she's a youngish. Fairly slim, not very tall, German woman.
So again, the nationality or the origin of the person or thing coming just before the noun. Reza, over to you.
My first girlfriend. Oh, I'm going to enjoy this. It's a pity that there's no way she'll be listening to this, because I wish she were to say that she was a treacherous, short...
Well, wait a second. Treacherous...
Treacherous traidora. She was, and I'm speaking the truth, I'm afraid to say, she was a treacherous... You notice I say was. She's probably still alive, but for me, she's a thing of the past. She was a treacherous, short and plumpy Irish woman. And who knows where she is now, but, and I don't care.
But apart from that, she was okay.
Yes, well... And my current partner is a beautiful tiger-skinned, four-legged beauty called Berta. Yes, I said four-legged. Compound adjective. She is a greyhound.
Ah, you have a greyhound at home.
Galgo. Greyhound is Galgo. And finally, let's describe Inglés Podcast. It's a successful online audio English show.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. Can I just add also extremely popular? Throw that in somewhere as well.
Mm-hmm. And
award-winning? Can we put that in somewhere? Winning.
That's another compound adjective. Award-winning.
Entertaining, instructive, and educational.
Okay. Can we put in the word unbeatable, or is that going too far?
I think
immejorable. Unbeatable.
Immodest.
What about indispensable? Imprescindible.
That's a good one.
If you want to improve your English. If you want to grow your grammar and vocalize your vocabulary, then it is indispensable. Believe us.
Well, I think it's time for lunch for us three. So now it's your turn to practice your English. We would like you to practice your order of adjectives. So go to the show notes. Make sure your adjectives are in the correct order. And then either send us an email with a few examples of your flat, your clothes, the city you live in, the room you're in at the moment, your favorite possession, your last holiday, etc. And you can write to us at craig@inglespodcast.com.
Or to me, reza@belfastreza@gmail.com.
But probably the best way to practice your English is to send us a voice message. And to do that, go to speakpipe.com. That's speakpipe.com/Inglespodcast. Remember, you have about 90 seconds to leave us your audio messages. Thank you very much to Martin for joining us this week.
Thank you very much again. It was lovely to be here.
It was a great episode, and I hope that Martin perhaps in the future will come back and do another one of these with us.
Be
on
delighted.
A different subject.
Be delighted.
Thank you. Thank you to Reza. Thank you all of you for listening. And on next week's episode, Reza and I will be answering some of your questions. We've had lots of email and voice message questions that we'll be answering a mixture of things on next week's podcast. Till next week, it's goodbye from Reza.
It's goodbye from Martin.
Goodbye. And it's goodbye from Craig.
It's goodbye from him.
I've mucked it up.
Yep, you've mucked it up again. Goodbye. The music in this podcast is by Pitts, and the track is called See You Later.